Hello,
hello.
Hello. Today's Saturday, November 21st, 2020. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.
So we are pre-Thanksgiving Indigenous Day podcast episode. I posted a episode a few days ago about our excitement about Joe Biden winning the election and talking about how many lesbian bars there are in America and how they're going to survive COVID-19. And then I think we just played a little game called Would You Rather. So Matt and I promised on our episode about the election day that we would kind of stay away from politics and talk more about fun things, bring some fun tips to the episode, to the podcast. And I know that the last episode we talked about, we also read fan mail, which was really nice. We do get some emails that I kind of vet through and look through to make sure that they're kind of go with our platform and our theme.
And thank you yeah. for those that send in. Please yeah. keep them coming. We appreciate all those
submissions. And also just commenting on the questions that I ask on our Night Owl Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have 1,000 fans and counting so far. So I can see in the analytics how many people it can reach. And then now we're on countless platforms. I've actually been seeing and getting emails to our Night Owl email about our podcast being discovered on websites I've never heard of that are offered, that are towards and geared towards podcasts. So there's two more smaller platforms that we could add on to our Anchor website.
And yeah, the more the merrier. Yeah. The more out there, the more ways that we can kind of reach people, or the more ways that you can ingest us.
Yeah, and I think it's because we have a Gmail account, so Gmail is very good with analytics. Once awesome. You make a Gmail email, you're in the system. People know you, they see you. So thank you guys for tuning in. And I know that the last few weeks our episodes have been a bit inconsistent, but we always are trying to create content for you guys to listen to. And I guess now we Illinois is in tier 3, back in tier 3 lockdown like we were in March. Not so much of a paranoia. I think we are learning more and more about this virus, so we are able to now know what to do and how to take care of ourselves.
I think kind of number wise we've been up there, hence the necessity to kind of scale it back, or kind of per the guidelines to be able to scale it back.
Yeah.
Far as our positivity rate and the number of people that are getting infected,
mm-hmm.
but far as the number of people that have passed away due to this, I will say this, at least Illinois, the numbers have been
going down.
Yeah. At least we're not too bad, especially when you look at some of the neighboring states. A state like Iowa, when only a couple days ago they almost hit 2,000, not 2,000 infected, but 2,000 deaths.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is not all infected people die from this virus. A lot of people can have it.
No, I mean, that's been the issue here, yeah. but now what you're starting to see is hospitals and emergency units and mm-hmm. those that are designed to take care of this are at their limits mm-hmm. and more.
Yep.
You're seeing the staff, the nursing staff, they're overwhelmed.
Yeah, they're overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. I would say based on the stories that I see time and time again due to the restrictions in a lot of these hospitals, they are tired of holding the hand of a loved one knowing that that's it.
Yeah, it's sad.
And they are, here's the final message to my family and goodbye. And that is time and time and time again. We are well over 250,000 deaths already. I mean, I guess we're America, right? Going to do one thing, be the best at it. And we are.
I think what we should do is try to still get our affairs in order in case something like that happens. And going to your doctor, maybe going back into your medical history and your genealogy, because it does affect people differently based on their ethnicity and also their underlying, if they have any underlying disease or underlying illness.
One thing that came out was clearly within the first 5 days after being infected, that is when you are the most contagious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why there's places now that are taking people's temperatures and saying in, in the fine print, if you're going to go anywhere, to not go there when you're sick.
There's
not
a lot of places, symptoms. I would say, that have been doing it, sometimes controversial when it's retail places. Remember when we went couch shopping?
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the few retail places that I can think of that took our
temperature.
Remind those that most of the time when they're doing that, obviously it's a surface temperature.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be the same body temperature. So the height, you know, the temperature is not going to be as high as it would be for an internal body temperature.
Well, at the same time though, if you just feel like shit, I mean, it could be anything.
You need to be cognizant of that. Is it a cold? Is it the flu?
Yeah. So me and Matt are going to get our flu shots, I think, after Thanksgiving when we come back from... We're just visiting his two parents. I don't think we're doing a big thing. And one of my tips...
No, I mean, but it is the recommendation is for everybody to stay put.
Yeah.
You know,
one of my tips would be to video chat people.
I mean, I'm video chatting most people.
Yeah. Chatting some friends and family while we're away. And I think that it's just good to, you know, just put your pride aside. And I saw a video of this nurse that's getting a lung transplant. And she was, one of the things that she said was that this is real. If your loved ones have this, to listen to them, wear your mask. You are infecting other people when you don't wear your mask. When we went to Ohio a couple weeks ago, we went to a gas station and I went inside and there was a guy that said he had COPD and that was why he didn't wear his mask. But it's like, if you have something like that, you would want to protect yourself. So wearing a mask would be something you'd want to do. But it was very surprising for me to hear this late in the game someone doing that, because now it's already November. You need to protect yourself if you have an underlying illness. I don't see the logic in...
Nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of jump from that point to talk about 8 things you need to know about the vaccine. So there's a COVID vaccine that might be in the works in the United States. And there was another article that I read before I start this one. There was another article I read that was talking about in order what countries will be getting the vaccine.
Well, there's three.
And they said that a lot of the UK is going to. Yeah,
Ireland. Here in the US.
Well, yeah, but there are a couple of them in the UK that are getting them first, like Ireland and a lot of the countries that are more rural. Because they're saying that rural areas are more infected. People are not covering up.
As we know, some country like Russia is already, with their vaccines, giving them out here. Like I said, there's already 3 of them. They have given them out. The amazing thing about these vaccines, especially a couple of them, is that they're at 95% effective.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
The highest vaccine currently, I believe, is like measles at 97%. The flu that most of us get every year, they hope at best 70% effective.
Yeah.
Most years it's 50%.
It's probably very similar. I mean, they're probably going to look into, no.
No, because the flu, again, like I said, at 50% effectiveness.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah,
the fact that they actually have developed a COVID-19 vaccine that is 95%
really
effective,
good.
That they are at 3 of them.
So are you telling me that the flu is more likely contagious and scarier than COVID? I mean, the flu must be mutating a lot more and changing.
There will be arguments to be said that the way other countries have handled COVID, that flu is still more deadly. The way we have handled COVID, we have proven otherwise.
Wow. That's amazing.
You combine a couple of things that are prominent in this country annually as far as the number of people that pass away from that, and it's like a number of things combined. I mean, there are all kinds of records being smashed by the number of people that have passed away from this.
Well, this is an article I read from cdc.gov, and they're talking about COVID-19. It says in the United States, there is not yet an authorized or approved vaccine to prevent coronavirus 2019. The federal government has been working since the pandemic started to make one or more COVID vaccines available as soon as possible. Although CDC does not have a role in developing COVID-19 vaccines, the CDC has been working closely with health departments and partners to develop vaccine plans for when a vaccine is available. With the possibility of one or more COVID-19 vaccines becoming available before the end of the year, here are 8 things you need to know about where those plans currently stand. So number one, the safety of COVID-19 vaccines is a top priority. And it was saying that they're doing clinical trials with the Food and Drug Administration, and then they're doing vaccine safety monitoring. So they want to make sure that they do the clinical trials and they can find the best, you know, the best test, the best experiment, the best result from all of those trials.
Well, they're giving it to, that's what they did. They've already maxed that out. I mean, they've hit their 30,000 and 40,000 mark where they found the most. Again, these were people that were already selected because, again, they either had it or they hadn't had it, or they were high risk or due to their position.
Yeah, they were kind of doing that already, like during the last 6 months they've been doing testing.
And I know for the Moderna vaccine that came out, not only does it show in some of the studies that it prevents it, but if you were to get it by chance, it seems to very weaken the severity of any of the symptoms of it. So there's a lot of hope for that one. Before that, which I think is the Pfizer one, the one that needed to be at like 100 degrees minus Celsius, the one that really there's no infrastructure for it at this point in time. That one there was also showed promising. And then now there's a new one too that's come out. And although it doesn't seem to be able to weaken the symptoms, it does have
it keeps it from getting worse.
It does have a 90% effectiveness in preventing you from getting.
Which is good. Like, I mean, it's...
Yeah, we're up to 3 of them right now.
So they're doing after they do the trials, they're doing expanded safety monitoring systems. And then it'll go to the general public, and then the members of military, veterans. I mean, there's tribal nations are doing a lot with that. And then number 2 is many vaccines are being developed and tested. Some might be ready before others. CDC is planning for many possibilities. So the CDC is working with partners at all levels, including healthcare associations on flexible COVID-19 vaccination programs that can accommodate different vaccines and scenarios. The CDC has been in contact with your state public health department to help with your state's planning. State, tribal, local, and territorial health departments are critical to making sure vaccines are available to communities.
No, many states have already put in the ask for the authorization to be able to mobilize the National Guard and the Army to be able to distribute this because, you know, like I've had conversations with other people that I know, what a lot of people don't understand is the plan to be able to distribute a large-scale vaccine due to some kind of pandemic or due to some kind of attack. We've had on the books for a long time. We already know how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
So for a lot of these states, there's a playbook in place. Here you go. It's like, okay, federal government, the next step is
at least we'll have do something
ask,
right.
We have to ask for your authorization. You let us go. We are ready to go when you say yes with this. I mean, the plan is in place. That's just what's been for somebody that has worked public health, for somebody that has worked and worked scenarios, some of these crisis moments, it's mind-numbing. Like I said, with this, what we currently have gone through, knowing that there has been a plan.
And I think that's the thing is Donald Trump kind of fucked that up. I mean, there's always been scientists and doctors working towards this goal, and people weren't really in the know. They didn't know that this was happening.
They threw out the playbook, and he turned it political.
Yeah, and it just fucked it up. This is science.
It cost him the election.
It's not politics. It's science. It's our health. It's our life. It's humanity. It's everything. You know. So hopefully Biden can turn us into the right direction and kind of say, hey guys, listen to the doctors, listen to the scientists, listen to the nurses, listen to your, I mean, anyone who's really interested in doing research, like even Matthew. I mean, I turn to Matthew, like you guys are listening to him now. He knows. He likes to know about that kind of stuff. You're in the food industry. Food and Drug Administration cares about our safety. And if the CDC, this is their job. They have to be able to know what we, how we need to keep ourselves healthy. So the fourth one is there may be a limited supply of COVID-19 vaccines before the end of 2020, but supply will continually increase in the weeks and months to follow. The goal is for everyone to be able to easily get a COVID vaccine as soon as large quantities are available. The plan is to also have several thousand vaccines providers available, including doctors, offices, retail pharmacies, hospitals. So just like what we have when we get the flu shot.
It's like when we have the flu.
You should be able to go to CVS and get one.
Not only with this next stimulus package, but to ensure a lot of lawmakers have talked about is ensuring that this is free. Does not cost people of America, that once it is available to everybody widespread, boom, that everybody has the opportunity to go get it, and it is done at no cost.
And they're trying, and I know this may not be true. I'm trying to remember if I read about it being doctors and scientists want the vaccine to be safe for everyone, for every gender, every type of ethnicity, because different ethnicities can get diseases differently or more rapidly
easily. They talked about that in the beginning with some of these studies. That's who needed to be included in these studies. And I think that's what was frustrating about some. They were not including, you know, brown and black populations in some of these studies. And that is who has been some of the most affected by this, you know, pandemic.
Yeah. Given the fact that black people are more prone to asthma in general, which is why, you know, they can, and pneumonia.
But I know at least with these three, every time I've seen a report, maybe not every time, I'll be honest, but I've seen reports where, you know, they've highlighted, they understand where, yep, guess what? Most at-risk population, it works for you.
Well, it says number five, if there's a limited supply, some groups may be recommended to get a COVID vaccine first. Experts are working on how to distribute these limited vaccines in a fair, ethical, and transparent way. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine gave input to the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, which will make recommendations to the CDC director once a vaccine is authorized or approved for use.
And like we said, there is three of them. It looks like they are now in that phase of being authorized to be able to be released to the American public. I mean,
It does say in here about cost, that it wasn't going to cost anything.
It is. I mean, I'm not a scientist. But to understand
I would say you're a scientist. You study biology.
There are currently...
He's lying.
The fact that there are three vaccines in less than a year that are at a point that where it looks like they are safe enough to be able to give to a public is simply amazing.
So the only charge that's going to happen is for administration fees giving or administering the shot.
So yeah, they're going to, so the vaccine providers get it. Like I said, the fact that they have, I mean, when you think about it, I said earlier with the flu, they hope most years that it's at least 70% effective.
But it says that
the fact that they have to come up with, it takes usually years to develop a vaccine to be able to administer, to be able to prevent disease. The fact that in less than a year, there's not only been one, but three and more. I mean, this just shows, I think, the will of human beings and what we are capable of.
For people who give a shit. I mean, that's the best part. That's why we're doing this. So I'll include this link in the podcast description. I just thought it was interesting. I wanted to talk about something that was still current and something that is going on right now that we should still be monitoring and researching, because it's important to be able to care about each other and care about what we are doing as a human race. And put your goddamn mask on. We say this at the end of every episode. We're not saying it to be funny. We're saying it because it's true. And if you don't want to send people to the hospital to get a lung transplant when they didn't need one, that should be scary to you. I think we realize that, you know, we see people get into a car accident or have a heart attack, or we're like, oh, it's never going to happen to me. Like, it could happen to you. You know, we're no different than anyone else. We are different in our own way, but when it comes to health and genes and accidents and viruses, they don't discriminate. it can happen to anybody. So I wanted to start out with something serious and we can kind of go to something more fun. But I will include that article, and then there's another article about the different countries that will get the vaccines first. I haven't seen anything on TV, any more commercials. Have you seen any more COVID commercials at all? I mean, you've been watching regular TV.
They have just started.
Have they done more from the CDC or just other
commercials? Yes.
Okay.
To wear a mask.
So wash your hands. Because I got the emergency alert on my phone. Did you get one?
No.
Okay.
Far. I was in states where none of this is, it's only, you know, a state like Iowa that just now mandated things. You know, a state like North Dakota that just now mandated some of these things. A state like Minnesota that just now mandated some of these things.
Okay, because I've been hearing up until, I got an emergency alert on my phone yesterday that says avoid unnecessary travel, celebrate the holidays virtually with extended family, that Illinois was in tier 3 mitigation, and then there was a link about knowing more, what else to know about it. But I think up until, I'm going to give it until after Christmas to maybe try and see friends. But I just don't see myself doing that. I think it's back to you and I now for a few months. I think it's unnecessary to be able to, like my photo shoots are going to have to come to a halt for now. The magazine that I work for is going to have to come to a halt because this is definitely more important than art in that sense. Doesn't mean that we can't keep doing other things for the magazine as far as articles. We have someone that writes, that does interviews and stuff. But I think now you and I can deep dive more into this podcast and pay attention more to what's going on around us. And it's going to be winter. People are going to be inside more. I know it's devastating that people are losing their jobs, and I think it's sad that people that are serving food, they're going to have to find other ways to make money. But I think that we have to just realize we have to make sacrifices to stay healthy. And it sucks. I know there's a lot of people that shaking their heads right now. But
we get this next stimulus and there's even more to come.
Go to us.
Actually go to businesses and to people, and that people that do get it, that it's spent responsibly.
Yep.
I think there is definitely a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So what do you got that's, maybe a more lighter note here?
Well, I did kind of a little game. I thought, you know, we did What You Rather. I thought we could do fun facts. So I went on the internet just today and I found some facts that I thought were interesting. There is a plethora of them out there on the internet. Some that date all the way back to 2001, but some of these facts are tried and true, and I thought they were really interesting, and I customized them and wanted to pick certain ones out that I thought were interesting. I didn't tell Matt about this part. I just told him we were talking about COVID, but I thought we'd start serious and end with a fun note. So the first one I wanted to bring to the table was your hair growth may be related to your ethnic background. And being a hairdresser for 10 years and studying how hair grows and working on numerous amount of people from anywhere from black to white to Armenian to, I mean, all over the country. I've worked on people from all over the world, especially when you were working in Chicago, downtown Chicago. I worked at Nordstrom. That was the last hair job I had, was working at Nordstrom. And you will not believe how many people come to Nordstrom from out of the country. I mean,
Yeah, it runs the gamut in hair. You see it all.
Yeah, I've seen it all. So this is something I actually thought that I knew, but I didn't know the extent of it. It says, while human hair generally grows at a rate of about 6 inches per year, there is some difference in growth rates based on ethnicity. According to the research published in the International Journal of Dermatology, people of Asian descent tend to have faster growing hair than those of other backgrounds. So, if you are Asian and you are listening to this podcast, congratulations, you win.
Your hair grows the fastest.
I didn't look into why, but if we can use our own noggins What do you think? Why do you think Asian hair? It didn't say Japanese specifically or Chinese. It just said Asian. Asia. Indonesia.
Because it covers a wide array of.
Do you think it's the people. Food? Do you think it's the water? Do you think it's meditation? What do you think it is? I think it's all the fish. Fish oil.
No, you wonder if it has to do with the environment. Is that why that's
I think it might be to do with it? I think it's the food, whatever type
over
of root,
time that
root
has,
or something they're eating, or I don't know. It could be.
As far as growing fast, is how much are we talking about?
Well, if it grows 6 inches a year, my when I made my dreads, when I did dreads on myself in April of last year, my hair, I actually put a wire on my hair, a wire wrap. And it's still there today, and I can actually see how long it's grown. So the dread that has grown out, the part that has grown out, is just as long as the part that the new growth. It's all the same length. So it would take about another year for my dreads to hit my shoulders or go past my shoulders. So 6 inches a year, your hair grows about a half an inch a month. So I bet you that their hair still grows 6 inches a year, but maybe it grows faster. So they get to 6 inches maybe the end of November or early December instead of a normal hair growth, which would be half an inch exactly a month. Because some people, when I cut their hair and I show them on my comb what an inch looks like, they're surprised because it's so small. So when I tell them, hey, I'm gonna cut 2 or 3 inches off, it's really not that much.
Yeah,
people most think people, an inch is way bigger than it usually
yeah,
is,
I mean,
right?
It's typically, the human eye.
Yeah,
it's not that accurate.
No.
It's not the most reliable sense that we have.
So whenever I would cut someone's hair, I use the comb that had the measurements on there, so I could show them, hey, I'm not scissor happy. I'm not trying to.
No, that's a good
you.
Thing that people could visually see and line that up with see the unit of measurement.
Yeah.
Because
they can trust me. I'm not.
Most people, again,
their hair
like
off.
I said, their eyes are one of the most deceiving senses that we have.
That's why you have tools to help you
that's
guide.
That's why you need tools.
Just
exactly.
Like when you were putting up art in our place, you have your level to see how straight everything is. To make sure, hey, this could just be the wall or it could be. Our building could be in a slant.
Your sense of hearing,
or,
your sense of smell much stronger than your vision.
Yeah, which is why we lose it around like 60 or 70.
Well, it's one reason why when people do not have it, that especially those other senses become so heightened
that they
really
yeah.
are extremely effective.
Yeah. I wonder if when people can't hear if their vision is heightened. I wonder if that's the same thing. I always thought that for just people who are blind.
No, because there's more and more to vision. I mean, you've got, again, the eyes are...
Your nose and your ears are connected, right? It's the same kind of tubes.
And your sense of taste.
Yeah, I think that your mouth and nose and your ears are more connected than your eyes. Your eyes are connected
to your
brain.
So if you start to lose your sense of taste, then you start to lose your sense of smell as well.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
I would not want to lose my sense of smell or my sense of taste. I like food. Okay, so the second fun fact... Shakespeare invented the name Jessica. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And it is among the many mysteries and false truths about Shakespeare.
I know it is one of the more popular names for a name for a song.
Well, I just know Shakespeare is kind of still a mystery, but also even the spelling of his name, people get it wrong all the time. So there's almost no right spelling of Shakespeare, which is weird. I actually, when I typed it out, there was no correction. Like, my phone didn't know how to spell it. I was like, okay, I'll just copy and paste.
There's even debate out there, even if William Shakespeare was an actual person.
Well, he could have been a ghostwriter, or he could have had a ghostwriter.
There is a lot of evidence to believe at least some of his writings are attributed to this other historical figure out there.
Oh, there's things he cheated on. He copied all the time. Singers and songwriters, they copy stuff all the time. Okay, so it says, well, it can't be proven that he invented it per se, but the first written instance of the name is found in the Baird's 1596 play, The Merchant of Venice. Shylock's daughter, anglicization of the biblical name Esau, is named Jessica. So Jessica is Esau. 1596. That's interesting.
Song's named Jessica, though.
Yeah. Blue cheese can save your dreams. Having strange dreams? It's time to skip the blue cheese on your salad. According to the research from the British Cheese Board, Matthew, if you were in Britain, you would be on the cheese board. You would be on
maybe, but I do love a blue cheese burger.
It says that eating blue cheese is particularly associated with vivid dreams.
Deal with the strain of mold that is associated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's almost cheese. Like you might as well just eat mushrooms, probably.
I'm sure. It would be interesting to see if there's any kind of correlation or relationship
if it's the same
between
type.
Some of the what is known in hallucinogenic mushrooms and what is potentially
and
associated with blue cheese.
Maybe takes longer for it to affect
your
body.
I've told you, they say that, you know, the more blue that you can see in kind of the magic mushrooms in the stem and that, the more potent. Well, that same kind of blue tinge that you see in a fungus would be some of the same
blue
that you blue cheese.
I didn't even think about that, and I eat both those
not
things.
At the same potency, obviously, but you wonder if it, at least some of the same kind of causal and effects are related, or they are the same.
Well, we're gonna have to look that up for the next episode, because that would be a fun.
You know, blue cheese
continuum.
And mushrooms. I mean,
yeah.
In Oregon, state of Oregon, they have both and they're legal now.
Go to Oregon and you can eat both.
In
your salad.
Eat salad.
The universe has a color. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University took the average of light over 200,000 galleries, 200,000 galaxies. It turns out the universe is an average kind of beige. They named the color Cosmic Latte. That sounds terrible. And what do they do in movies? It's always blue or pink or red or like... So I guess the average color is Cosmic Latte. But I guess I had to think about it. When I started painting and I would start to do my drip paint, I had to be careful about combining colors or too many colors, because then what would happen? It would just turn brown, right? So all those galaxies and the color of those gases together, mixing together, I would think it would turn into some sort of brownish beige type of color. Because then, like, what happens when you mix all the colors together?
You get black.
You get black, right? Okay, so this is what I actually used to get confused all the time. The IE and the EG aren't the same. IE is an abbreviation of the id est, which means that is, but you can remember what it means with the phrase in essence, e.g. On the other hand, stands for exempli grantia, which means for the sake of example, but can easily be remembered as example given. Do you know that?
I did not know that's what those acronyms stood for when you see them in sentences.
I've used
associated with... when you're using multiple examples, or when you see a set of three, I think is usually the rule for some of those.
So example given would be something you'd use after saying the example.
No.
Yeah.
And then you would list it.
And IE would be before. And this was for Matthew specifically. I thought this was a fun fact. Weird Al Yankovic wrote Albuquerque to be as a joke, specifically to annoy people for 12 minutes. It ended up becoming one of his most popular songs. Have you listened to Weird Al Yankovic?
I'm aware, yeah.
Okay, I grew up listening to him on cassette tape.
Yeah, I mean, especially growing up, cassette tape there. I mean, he had all this.
Yes, we are saying how old we are, because, you know, I grew up with older cousins. Everything was on a cassette tape.
Yeah, I mean.
CDs came out. The first CD I think I ever had was Spice Girls. And then after that was like Oasis and Backstreet Boys. And I think those were kind of all around the same time that at least I got those CDs. But yeah, Weird Al Yankovic wrote a 12-minute song to annoy people and it became a popular song, which I thought was pretty funny. I don't think he made that song knowing it would be a hit. I think he just wanted to annoy people and he's like, I have some money I can throw. You can't control Weird Al Yankovic.
You can't control art sometimes. It is what it is. Once you release it out there, no matter what your best intentions are for it to be or what you want it to be, sometimes it has a life
of
its own.
You can't make a viral video expecting it to go viral. You just make a video.
Some videos just go viral, man.
And this was the last one I wanted to bring to the table. In 2014, a missing woman on a vacation in Iceland was found when it was discovered that she was in the search party looking for herself. According to the Reykjavik Grapevine, a not-so-missing woman, a tourist, even participated in the intense police search over the weekend near Elgea Canyon in the country's southern volcanic region. The mix-up apparently occurred when, during a sightseeing trip Saturday, the woman broke off from her tourist group and changed clothes. The Reykjavik Grapevine reports, citing Icelandic news website. So she basically was in her tourist group. She went to go change her clothes, and they were like, "Oh,
hostel or the cabin or wherever they were staying."
Could you imagine though, like being in the rescue?
We don't know their system. What was their system for roll call and checks?
But could you? I don't know. I just looked up the fun fact. I didn't go further into it.
I mean, I wonder how long into that search they're going, oh, we're going to find this. Who are we looking for again?
What I thought was interesting is that she was part of the search. Wouldn't she know, like,
who we're looking for one of the guests.
She probably didn't even know it was her. The link that I have is all in Icelandic, so I can't really read it. But I will include the actual English version in the description. Just I
maybe
want to talk
that's
about
the
it.
Reason why, because it wasn't a, maybe she didn't originally speak that language, but you would think most people that gather for an immediate search like that out of the, you know, spontaneously like that, that people are going, who are we looking for? Yeah, we're looking for this person. We're looking for this person. What do they look like? We're looking for this person. You would think she just wouldn't have blindly started this, like, meandering with a bunch of people. Who? What are we doing? I just joined a bunch of people. Woo! Who are we looking for? Oh, that's me.
Okay.
And then kept going on.
That would be, I mean, that
like,
would be
who
funny.
Are we looking for? Well, that's me again.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's me again. Like, and then she just realizes,
wait a minute. We found you. I'm found.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring those kind of fun facts to you guys. Just keeping it kind of light now at the end of the episode, because I think after Thanksgiving, it'll be Black Friday, and then people will be shopping online because no one can be shopping in the stores. I don't think anything's going to be open for a while. So I want to let you guys know you can always email us your stories, and we will have a guest on our show after the holidays, after Turkey Day, Indigenous Day, and we're going to be talking to him. He meditates. He's a spiritual leader. He has worked with me on other projects before. He's very, very into his community, and he does meditation videos every week. He does yoga. He's just an all-around cool guy, and I cannot wait to bring him on to the podcast episode and just kind of reminisce and talk to him about who he is and how he's doing and maybe come forth with some cool advice and knowledge.
Yeah, because I'm sure we could all use a little balance in our life at this point in time.
Yeah.
Especially heading into the holiday season when things tend to get even a little more chaotic and they're already stressful enough, and this year will be no exception.
Yeah, we need someone that's going to have a good spirit and happy and, you know, understand the darkness, understand the light, and be able to share with us this knowledge. So we are happy that you guys are listening to us. We want to tell you to stay safe, stay healthy, stay happy, and wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.